You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome to the Saturday edition of Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz. Getting you all fired up for tomorrow's action. We got off to a good start on Thursday night. For all you fantasy owners, I'm sure you're happy about the point total. I'm sure you're happy about whomever it is that you played in that game for the most part. They all came through. Had a couple of big performances out of Matty Ice and out of Jameis Winston to some extent before he got knocked out of the game. Julio Jones, Mike Evans with some big games, and everybody else kind of chipped in along the way. So, George, how are you this morning? And give me some thoughts on Thursday night. It's kind of a barn burner for fantasy owners.
Yeah, everybody ate Thursday. Yeah. Right? Everybody ate. Really, was there anybody disappointed? I guess Smith, you know, Anthony Smith, if you picked him up, but even he had 7 points in PPR leagues. And let's face it, it's not that much of a shock that they didn't run the ball much. We expect them to be behind by multiple touchdowns, so they're going to throw the ball a bunch. But everybody else ate. I mean, Evans, great game before he had the concussion as well, or in the concussion protocol, I should say. Brake caught a touchdown. Humphreys caught a touchdown.
Austin Hooper.
I mean, everybody was on Atlanta. Everybody ate. It was good. Fantasy-wise, good game. I had a bunch of those guys, so I was extremely happy. I remember the last drive, Atlanta's like, no, Brate hasn't done much. I got him in a league. Could you get him a touchdown? Oh, you can.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, yeah, it was a good game.
Yeah. I played Matt Ryan in one league. He's starting quarterback in one league for me, and I played against him in another. So, you know, I'll take what I can get, frankly.
I love how you know who you're going up against. I have no idea how you started Ryan. I never even looked.
Looked at it on Friday morning. I'm going against Adam Ronis in our Josby Pros League.
Adam's got a good team, I believe.
Yeah, he does. He's in first place.
I love that league. Second place in points, and I'm 3-5.
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat. And I have a huge conundrum in that league that I'm going to get to in the next segment. I want to walk George through it, and I'm sure some of you have had similar types of scenarios where you've painted yourself into a corner, and I have to figure out you know, I have a huge gamble to make, so we'll get into that a little bit later. So, Matt Ryan, kind of off and running. Would you give him league MVP at this standpoint of the season?
We were discussing that with Jake Steele and Scott Engel, I believe, on Old School Fantasy on Thursday, maybe Friday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd have Ryan. I think eventually it'll be Brady, but I can't give it to Brady right now.
You think Pats run the table or lose one more game here, and Tom Brady gets the MVP?
I can see him losing Week 17. It means nothing. You know, I don't know if anybody's going to challenge that with home field. And so
they've covered
in
every game so far. They've just been off to such a tremendous start. So, yeah. Matty Ice,
I love the mood lighting we have here.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of a dark studio this morning. It's going to get probably even darker as we approach Daylight Savings Day is tomorrow.
There's so our PSA for the show, boys and girls. Set your clocks back.
That's right. Set your clocks back. And to anybody that's a parent of young children like I am, I'm sorry in advance because it is going to be a disastrous week or two for you because kids can never get on schedule. Like, they just wake up at the same time. So they don't.
I never had that problem.
Really?
My kids were always sleepers. They always nap. They always slept. I mean, from day one, both.
Well, mine are terrible sleepers, so that's partly an issue for me. But a lot of people do struggle with little kids and adjusting to daylight savings time, especially this one.
So they'll be getting up at all kinds of hours. It's dark too early.
Yeah, so so that's where we're at. Thursday night game was a big one. Peyton Barber actually had a decent game, too, for those of you in full-point PPR leagues. He picked up nearly 10 points. So, again, like George said, everybody ate. Good start to the week on that Thursday night game. And finally a week where we saw some legitimate offense on both sides, right? We've struggled to see consistent fantasy performances on Thursday nights, and we finally get one this week. So, bye weeks this week, your Cardinals, Bears, Bengals, Texans, Patriots, and Washington players are all out for this week. So, unfortunately, we got a few quarterbacks in there that have been starters for people. Tom Brady, in my instance, for this one league, I have to pivot. And, again, I'll get into that in a little bit. So, injuries. Injuries have been a story for quite a while. You see some of these teams, these injury reports are getting lengthy. A lot of questionable players, if not doubtful and out. But a few key ones, George. Ben Roethlisberger back in the lineup, and it looks like we probably have LeSean McCoy and Steve Smith back as well. So you expect all those guys to play, obviously, and any high hopes for any of the three of them?
I loved what Terrell Suggs have said about Ben. I ain't buying it. It's not happening. We know he's going to play.
He's right.
That's so true. Of course it's. I guess Steelers want to cover themselves just in case Ben were to suffer. If the knee swells up,
mm-hmm.
You can't say there's no probable anymore, so I guess you got to put him on question.
No way he's 100%, but he's playing.
He probably shouldn't be playing, my guess is. You look at his history anyway. When he comes back from an injury, the first week's ugly anyway. His history in Baltimore's not, fantasy-wise, is not that great either. But then again, if you're a fantasy owner, I don't know if you can do better than him. I have been on at least three of my leagues, maybe four, but a lot of those leagues are two quarterback leagues, so he's an automatic put it. I don't have a choice. It's like either him or Bradford. I'd rather have a bad Ben than a good Bradford. So no option there. But there's a chance you could have somebody as an option to Ben. If you did, a decent option, I might go with Colin Kaepernick over Ben this week. I like Kaepernick against the Saints. I think his floor is much higher. I think it's the Saints. They can't stop anybody. Someone like Kaepernick, I could certainly be convinced. I would not go with somebody like Fitzpatrick or Tannehill, not going that far down the barrel. I certainly wouldn't go Bradford, as I mentioned earlier. As for LeSean McCoy, I think he's a huge gamble Monday night. Even if he is healthy.
It's not a great play.
It's not a great matchup there. Right? It's against the Seahawks in Seattle. It's going to be a problem. And you'd have a hard time convincing me that he's 100% healthy and ready to go here. They have a bye next week. A little surprised they're rushing him back again. This smells to me. Then again, if you have McCoy and Gillislee, you're fine. You can just go with one or the other, but it could be bad for both again, like it
That's
was
right.
against Miami 2 weeks ago. If you have McCoy or a decent option on Sunday, if it's a great option, obviously you go with the great option. If you have a decent option on Sunday, I'd go with the Sunday option. Why take a chance he's late and active? Why take a chance he only gets 10, 12 carries? Why take a chance he's not LeSean McCoy?
So I got put in this position a couple of weeks ago where Jerick McKinnon and Derrick Henry on one team. And Jerick McKinnon, this is last week, actually. Jerick McKinnon had the Monday night game. He was questionable all week. Zimmer was shading that he was going to play. I let Derrick Henry sit on Thursday night, and then as of Saturday morning, McKinnon was out. Basically, during our show last week, they declared McKinnon out. So I got put in a tough spot there. And to your point, if you have this Sunday-Monday option, why not just go with a guy that you know is going to play and will play a full load of snaps at least? So, again, we understand how many injuries are out there and that McCoy might be your best option even with a half of a workload, but it is what it is.
Running backs a week. We get it.
Sure.
Six teams on bye, all these injuries. Yeah. You may have no choice, and that's fine. I don't have McCoy in any league.
You got David Johnson, Jordan Howard, Gio and Jeremy Hill, Lamar Miller, James White, LeGarrette Blunt, and whomever you want to put in there in Washington.
It's a brutal
Rob
week.
Kelly. That's really rough for a bye week situation. So Steve Smith back in the lineup. Do you like him to contribute this week? Weak Steelers.
It is a
defense.
Weak Steelers team. If they had the bye, maybe they were able to fix some problems here. Flacco was hurt too. Remember that?
Yep.
He wasn't looking good at all. I assume over the 2 weeks he's gotten better as well. I know. And once again, that two quarterback league. I was just one of those two quarterback leagues. I was able to pick up Flacco yesterday, debating him starting over Ben this week, only because of Ben's history as far as injuries and Baltimore Ravens are concerned. But I probably won't be able to pull that trigger. But I think he's back to healthy as far as Flacco. Steve Smith. Wide receivers are a little different. Because a lot of teams were deep at wide receiver. We have a lot of wide receivers, so maybe you don't have to start Smith. He is someone in a perfect world I like to see play first before I put him in here. He didn't practice earlier in the week. He was limited. Now he's going to play, I don't know, some red flags there. So Smith, for me, is he a must-start? No. If I have better on my roster, I'm going to go with the other guys. If I'm even, I'm going with the other guys. If I'm a little below, I might go with the other guys. I don't trust Steve Smith this week is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So I totally understand that. It's been a while now since he's been able to play a full workload. So you can obviously have some hesitance there when it comes to slotting Smith in. If you're hurt by these bye weeks that we talked about and there's plenty of wide receivers that are contributors there, then maybe Steve Smith is a must-start for you just by way of not having – better options. So Hunter Henry, Alex Smith, Spencer Ware out. So the Chiefs really hurt at both quarterback and running back. The good news is we've seen success with the Chiefs starting running backs in the past, no matter who it is, whether it's Jamal Charles or Spencer Ware or Sharkandrick West, who's going to step in this week. We have seen some success there. So are you if you had an opportunity to pick up Sharkandrick West, you feel good about him this week, right? Going
Absolutely.
Up against the Jags?
He's a low-end RB1 this week.
Right.
He's a must-start if you have him, unless you're just fantastic at the running back position. Nowhere, you mentioned he's gone, so it's West or bust. You know, I think they'll run him, I don't want to say to death, but pretty much to death.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only other healthy running back on the roster is Bishop Sankey, who cleared waivers last week. He's bounced around to a few teams over the last year or so. Alex Smith, Nick Foles fills in. So how do you feel about Nick Foles this week? He actually looked good. He looked good in sort of fill-in duty last week after Smith got hurt.
How far down do you have to go on the streamers quarterback to really put Foles in here? I decided I would go Kaepernick over him. You look at streaming quarterbacks. Could I put Foles in there with a Tannehill Fitzpatrick? Okay, I could. But who's he throwing to? It's not like this is a dynamic throwing offense here, and Foles will pick up right where Alex Smith left. Alex Smith wasn't very good, as fantasy-wise. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd go with Fitzpatrick over Foles. The Dolphins can be beat in the secondary. I'd probably go Tannehill, which is the Jets' secondary being beat over and over again. I would definitely go Kaepernick over all of them. Flacco would be a consideration over Foles. I just don't see it. Mm-hmm. I can go down quarterback after quarterback. I'd rather start
Dak Prescott.
Streaming quarterback. Yeah. Well, Dak is top 10 this week. He's almost a must start.
Exactly.
So these are just it's easy choices for me. Why am I going to go down with this with Foles? They don't need to throw the ball 35, 40 times. Almost said Spencer Ware. Charkandrick West will run all over him.
Yep.
Plus the Jaguars, Bortles is Santa Claus. He'll give away a couple of passes, no problem.
And Chiefs defense, obviously, good start this week. So we'll get into the game.
Anyway.
We'll go into game by game breakdowns in subsequent segments, but just wanted to get through these injuries. We do have Dallas defensive injuries are pretty bad. They have two D-backs out, Mo Claiborne, Barry Church, both out. Cody Kessler gets the start there for the Browns. We'll dive into that game a little bit more, but something to keep in mind that Dallas is hurt quite a bit defensively. They'll try to control the clock. We know that, but some injuries there. Now, the really tough ones. Sort of legit question marks. Now, I did say Steve Smith is expected to be back, but I have read some things where he is still a game-time decision. I'm leaning that he's going to be back, so you have to consider that you are still going to have to look for Steve Smith in the actives report tomorrow at 11:30.
He had a full practice on Friday.
Exactly.
I would assume
he
plays.
Me too.
But it's just another reason where I'll hedge the other way if I have somebody decent.
That's right. So three legit question marks tomorrow are Randall Cobb, Delanie Walker.
Don't expect Cobb.
And Carlos Hyde.
Don't expect Hyde either. But yeah. Walker's a game-time decision. Boy, that's a problem.
Yeah.
It's probably, I think once again, Jake and Scott and I really delved into this the San Francisco backfield yesterday. That's a nightmare.
Yes.
I mean, because if Hyde doesn't go, Hyde goes, I'm starting him. I'll take a chance. I guess New Orleans, I'm starting him. But you saw Hyde say it midweek. He's worried about the shoulder, and he can't simulate that in practice. That's not good when guys talk about it. When they're worried about being hit, it's automatically a red flag because it seems like he doesn't want to play.
Unfortunately for our owners, it's a 4 o'clock start because it's in San Francisco, so you have to make this decision earlier than you would otherwise like.
Well, you hope that maybe you're in a league that allows you to make the lineups. We'll find out the inactives at 2:30 Eastern time, hour and a half before the game, maybe 3 o'clock if it's a 4:25 start.
Hopefully you've picked up one of his backups or have somebody else starting later.
Right, so therefore you would have an option. I mean, I know a lot of us got screwed last week by Ty Montgomery. I was one of them. Cost me a league. We found that after 1 o'clock, and I was allowed to make moves in that league. Unfortunately, I had it was only 2 4 o'clock games, so I had no other 4 o'clock players, couldn't change it, nothing I could do, and I lost by 3 points. And I'm still a little angry about that.
Ouch.
But I think in Hyde's case, we know about this already. If you make the same mistake with Hyde, this is your fault now. We know. Maybe you should play it cautious. The problem is, you got Davis, you got Harris, you got Drone. Yay. None of them are great. Drone is probably more of a PPR play. Harris might be the guy you want, but Davis could be the goal line. It's a mess.
Yep.
They could all be used here. It's a situation, if Hyde doesn't play, it's probably a situation I want to avoid unless I'm desperate.
That's right.
I would not want one of these guys over LeSean McCoy.
And your desperation is going to be touchdown dependent either way.
Most likely you're going to need a touchdown to have a good game.
That's right.
But I would not want one of these guys over LeSean McCoy. When I said I'm worried about McCoy, I'm not going to the San Francisco backfield and playing the same guessing game. I'll go with McCoy in that case. But no, I'm not liking these guys, so Hyde's a problem. Walker, this is a brutal week for tight ends. A lot of tight ends are on bye.
Yep.
Walker, I'm assuming he is. No, he's a 4 o'clock game, too. Fantastic.
Just to give you an idea, I mean, Zach Miller on a bye. Tyler Eifert on a bye.
Jordan Reed's on a bye.
CJ Fedorowicz, not a household name, but has been pretty good. Gronk and Bennett, obviously.
It's ugly.
And then Jordan Reed.
It's ugly. And now you got Walker, who's another 4 o'clock
game. It's rare that a bye week lines up with that many top players out.
So if you're waiting till, if you're going to wait till 4 o'clock to find out, I mean, what other tight ends could be on the waiver that you could pick up right now? I mean, you want nobody on San Fran. Fleener, I'm going to assume, is gone. Olsen's gone. Maybe Kendricks. Could pick up Kendricks on the Rams. He's a hot pickup this week. If he's available, you could pick him up and then decide, assuming you have a dead spot, you could decide on Walker or Kendricks at 4 at 2:30. Or what time is that game? Oh, that'll be at 3 o'clock. You'll find out the inactives. So you could go that way. Dwayne Allen could be out there. I'm not sure you want to go.
Eric Ebron, maybe?
Eric Ebron would be fantastic. I assume he's not out there.
Yeah, I had a couple questions this week where Ebron was out on people's waiver wires. So that's a possibility.
The problem is, what time is the Ebron game?
That's one.
Well, you know, we're not going to find out until 2:30, though.
That's right.
So the Ebron doesn't really apply here.
That's right.
Green Bay, Rich Rogers, no. Antonio Gates, I'm assuming, is gone. No Hunter Henry tomorrow. He's out as well.
That's right.
Raiders, I mean, Wolford might be an interesting guy, but the Broncos defense, I'm probably staying away there. So I think Kendricks is the guy you're hoping is out there. He's the guy you can grab and then go one or the other, depending on the inactive list.
Right. So some few other injury issues. You have O-line issues in New York with Nick Mangold out. Indianapolis and Minnesota, also a lot of injury issues on the offensive line. So Andrew Luck, once again, not going to be well protected. Sam
That's
Bradford.
Every week.
Yeah, Sam Bradford, again, more of the same.
Do you find that ironic? When you think Sam Bradford, what do you think?
Injuries.
This year he's getting blown up behind that line. He's getting crushed.
Yeah.
Still healthy.
I know.
I find that kind of ironic.
Yeah.
But the injuries he suffered generally haven't been because he's been hit over. No, it's been weird kind of injuries. Torn the ACL.
Yeah, he got pushed out of bounds in the one time.
Right. This year he's getting, crushed behind that line. Crushed. Yet still healthy.
Yes.
I kind of find that funny.
Yeah, he's getting hit hard, the pocket collapsing on them quite a bit. Chargers are very banged up on D, just going through the injury report before the show. They have a litany of injuries there. Jatavis Brown is out. Denzel Perryman is likely out, so that's two of your rotational linebackers in there. So Titans have run-heavy team. I think that really leans you towards playing DeMarco. Obviously, you're playing DeMarco Murray, but in my instance, I might throw Derrick Henry in a lineup in order to round out my running back core. Monday night, Michael Bennett is out. Cam Chancellor, questionable, which is an upgrade from previous weeks. But I still think that it's something to consider when we're talking about the Bills. The Seahawks D, while it's stout in Seattle, may not be as stout as
there's nobody I'm dying to start on Buffalo this week.
I hear you. So really tough matchup for Tyrod Taylor there as well. So we'll get to a poll question right after the break. We'll try and figure out who the best injury fill-in is this week. Give you some options there. We're going to go through game by game and break it down. I have a huge lineup issue, we'll talk about after the break, and George will definitely admonish me, but I'll try to have him give me some legitimate advice.
I'll admonish you.
Say again?
Even if I agree with you, I'm going to admonish you.
I know. You're really going to now. And there's a key mistake that I made, which I had lined up to fix. But it was a key mistake I made that you will find out about right after the break. So it's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio and hit me up at Mike Blewett, George at George Kurtz. Answer all your questions for the week, lineup questions, which there are tons of because of bye weeks, because of injuries. We're happy to help there. But right now, I am sort of hesitantly about to bring up a situation that I have myself in. Going up against Adam Ronis, who's the number one team in this league and got off to a really good start. Matt Ryan, he had, as well as the Matt Bryant, who's been a money kicker so far this year. He threw in 10 points to add to Matt Ryan's 35-plus points. So I'm already down 45 points.
Minus points in that league or something? Because he had more than 10 in most leagues.
He had four PATs, a 50-yard field goal, and a 40-yard field goal. I guess we don't give a lot of points there.
We must not give three for field goals.
Well, that would be exactly it. Only three for field goals. So he would have six plus the four PATs. That's 10. So you don't get bonus points for 40-plus or 50-plus. I think that's the reason
for that. He had more than 10 points. He had like 15 points.
He probably did in most leagues. But we, Mike Cardano, in his infinite wisdom.
I think Mike did make it less. He lessened something.
Yeah, he lessened.
Why don't we just take out kickers? Really?
I'm fine with that. That was a perfect league to do that in because nobody cares about the kickers.
Right.
Anyway.
It's luck anyway. It's not. There's no skill involved.
Yeah. So here's the deal, George. So this week I have in this league where I'm trending really well in points, but I'm like 4-4 in the league. I am hit hard with byes and an injury. So I had Tevin Coleman who was injured. Tom Brady, Tyler Eifert, Larry Fitzgerald, all on bye. And my other quarterback that I've had, I've been carrying two quarterbacks because of the Brady scenario and buys upcoming once Brady came back, I had Matt Stafford. So Matt Stafford going up against the Vikings, I don't love the matchup. So I thought I could maybe be clever, pick up Dak Prescott as a one-week fill-in. Maybe I hold the three quarterbacks for a week and then release somebody next week, probably Dak. But here's the issue. Randall Cobb is in my lineup right now, and my goal the other night was to decide whether or not I was going to play Derrick Henry or Peyton Barber. I had to make that decision by Thursday, and I did. I went with Derrick Henry. What I meant to do was release Peyton Barber right before the game so that nobody could pick him up. I was going to be good to go. Long story short, I was not feeling so good on Thursday, Friday. Had a little touch of the flu. Didn't get a chance to release Barber. Now I'm locked in. I have Cobb locked in, and who do I release? Because I just explained my whole bench. Barber can't be released now. I don't want to release Tevin Coleman. I don't want to release Dak Prescott or Matt Stafford. And I certainly can't release Brady, Eifert, or Fitzgerald. So what do? I take a zero?
I mean,
Already down.
How many points did Adam score already?
45.
He's got a monster team. Adam's he's the point leader in this league, 1,236. Yes. You can do the math by divided by 8. It's a lot. He's averaging, 150 points a week?
Yeah.
You know,
I think I'm second in this league in points, and he's way in front of me.
Which
I might
team
be
you?
Third. Joe Bucklight.
Yeah, me, you, and whoever the Marv team is are all in the same mode, but within 27 points of each other. In your case, I might just take the zero. Who are you going to pick up? That's the first
question. That's a good question. I looked the other night.
I've looked at this league. I know I've looked at it, and there's nobody available in this league. It's weak.
Yeah, I saw it. I have my watch list up. It was going to be like another tight end, I think, because I had to pick. I released Hunter Henry because I had to pick up Antonio Gates. I did that for 1 week.
This league, I remember the league. Cause I know I've been looking for players here. And you look at the waiver wire here, and it's not very strong. We have Jason Witten, Kobe Fleener. These are the guys you look at the top of our list. Zach Ertz. These are the guys who are have some points you could possibly get here. In your case, though, I would probably release you're starting Dak, you said?
It makes sense, right? Dak over Stafford?
So you can't release
Dak. I can release Matt Stafford. That's crazy.
Probably
I tried to trade him a couple of times. Scott Engel wouldn't bite on it because he didn't like Stafford's upcoming schedule. He plays the Vikings twice.
It is tough.
But outside of the two Vikings games.
It's not bad.
It's good.
It's not bad. But I'm looking here. There's no one here to grab. That's why I think if you're in your case, you're probably going to lose anyway. So why give up somebody you don't want to give up?
That's brutal, though. That's so brutal that I have to do that.
Let's say you pick up Fleener. What are we looking at here? 4 catches, 40 yards, and a touchdown at most? 14. So that's 14 points.
Yeah, Fleener's the guy. That's right. So it would be Fleener.
You're averaging
Jeremy Curley.
Ugh. No thanks.
For 1 week against the Saints? It's a 1 week
Kaepernick's
rental.
He's not good at those kind of passes. He's not a good West Coast quarterback. He doesn't have an all speed pitch. All he has is a fastball.
This is true.
Curley's value went straight downhill when they replaced
Seth Roberts isn't good this week.
There's no one here to grab. Outside of some tight ends in there. I don't think they're gonna score enough points. Your other choice would be, I forget who you told me, there were two guys I thought you could drop here. Dak would have been one and go with Stafford.
That's right.
But then again, you might lose the 14 points you're just gonna gain. You know, right? Maybe I don't think Stafford's going to have a big week against Minnesota this week.
Yeah.
So whatever you gain with whoever you're picking up, you're probably losing with Stafford. Dak should have a good game. And I think you had one other guy that I could think about. I don't remember who you said, though.
Peyton Barber, I can't release now because he played.
Yeah, Barber you're stuck with.
It's Tevin Coleman, Tom Brady, Tyler.
Coleman will be the guy. You could release him. He's hurt. They have a bye week coming up. I could see it.
Somebody's going to snag him.
Of course. I would snag him.
Corey Coleman in this league. For like a couple of weeks, and then I just, out of necessity, I had to release him because I wasn't going to have enough running backs here.
This league is a first-come, first-serve league, so it's difficult. You have to be on your computer all the time.
Yeah, especially when somebody like Scott Engel has made 40 transactions to this point.
Yeah, there are guys who have gone nuts in this league. I've made 7. I'm used to Fab. So the fact that it's first come first serve, I don't have time to look at it.
Yeah, Scott Engel has made 38 transactions thus far this season. It's a ton.
Sussman's made 27.
I have 13. George has 7.
I have the least in the league. Whoever Liberty Carworth has 0.
That's Gabe. He's checked out from. He didn't even show up.
Yeah, we thought Nando was checked out too last week. Nando averaging 70 points a week decides to put up 140 against me. Thank you so much, Nando. We're lost. Not best friends forever anymore.
And you lost.
Yeah, I won 35. Of course. I'm getting, like I said, this is one of these.
So you understand. So some of you may be in this. The mistake that I made is that I didn't release Barber. I made the decision.
Yeah,
all I needed to do was release him right before the game. I'm not necessarily looking to get him back. In fact, I think I've had Peyton Barber for 2 weeks. I don't know if I've played him either week because I like the other options better. But so that's it. I'm taking a zero.
I think you are.
I can't release those other guys. I can't just release Matt Stafford.
Look at the bright side. There's nothing really to panic about here until you see the scores on Tuesday. And if you lose by what Foligno would have had, then you get to be angry. If you're not, then you didn't lose anything.
That's right. So I just don't really want to give it up. So in any event, I had like the high score last week, and my team's been trending well, but I just can't. I keep getting these weird losses along the way. So
I love my team, but I keep going up against a better team each week. What are you
going to
do?
So anyway, so that's a little bit. I like to take you inside at kind of our teams from time to time to show you that we have some similar issues. George, I want to sort of pivot over to your article a little bit, just talking about defenses to pick on. And number one on the list that you want to pick on is the Indianapolis Colts, and Aaron Rodgers lined up for a big day, regardless of how he's throwing.
He's throwing fine. Yeah, Rodgers is fine. Losing Cobb hurts somewhat.
I mean more of the – it's less dynamic and more ball control and just throwing it 50 times, which
– Well, they have no ball control. They have no running backs.
That's right.
Ty Montgomery is going to play. He's over the sickle cell trait, so he'll be back in there. So a week too late for me, Ty. Thank you so much. But he's back. I mean, his points are going to be scored on put on the board here. Indianapolis can't stop anybody. I don't think Green Bay can stop anybody. I think the reason why points wouldn't be put on the board here, it's outdoors in Green Bay if we get some weird weather there. But other than that, this is a fantasy owner's delight here. Who aren't you starting in this game?
Yeah, it's the highest total on the board for the week, 54.5, which is the highest total in the NFL in a couple of weeks. So a lot of points
who
are expected
starting?
To be scored.
I mean, you look at Green Bay. Okay, like I said, we mentioned Richard Rodgers. Probably not him. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be pretty desperate. But, hey, I am desperate. I have to pick him up in a league, 16-team league. So I'm even starting him. Montgomery is starting. I don't want Don Jackson. Okay,
I was just going to ask you about the running back options.
Probably not starting. Outside of Ty Montgomery, I don't want anybody in the backfield there. But the wide receivers go. I don't expect Cobb to play, which is better for Adams and Nelson. More throws going that way. You mentioned Jeff Janis or the practice squad plays that Wilson got from last week. Not unless you're really, really desperate, am I going that far down the list. Although I imagine they'll have some value, and if they catch the touchdown from Rodgers, they'll have a good game. Indianapolis, I find it a little curious about Ty Hilton. You know, had the hamstring, came out of the game last week, only had one catch. Obviously, it was bothering him all week in practice. All of a sudden, Friday, he's not on the injury report. I find that strange. That's awfully convenient. But usually, they go the other way. He'd be questionable, not off. So just strange what's going on with him. Bottom line, I've had people ask me this in the Roto Experts email answer queue or on my Twitter or wherever. I'm starting Hilton. Unless you have great wide receivers, I can't see myself benching Hilton. I only have him in one league, and there's nobody I would even consider. I think Donchell Inman would be my next guy up, and I'm not going that deep to replace Hilton. So I'm starting him. Starting Moncrief. The other problem is going to be the tight ends. You want Doyle, but Allen is back. Yes, that's going to cut into his touches, his targets, whatever it might be. But Doyle is still the guy I want there. Maybe you have great tight end depth where you can go in your next tight end here. I don't in most leagues, so Doyle would still be my choice there. And Gore's your running back, although outside of Elliott, no one seems to run on Green Bay.
Jack Doyle has had some peaks and valleys this year, but he's been a really good pickup.
Red zone guy.
Yeah, and it's really helped that Dwayne Allen is out, obviously. But Jack Doyle's been like the reason I picked him up in so many leagues was that he's really been like the old Kobe Fleener, or he's the new Kobe Fleener, rather, in Indianapolis. We do have a Twitter poll up that I'd like you to check in on and vote on, and it's which questionable player is causing you the most angst this week. So that's LeSean McCoy, Randall Cobb, Delanie Walker, Carlos Hyde. I have an easy vote right here. I'll vote right now. That's Randall Cobb for me. We just went through that entire scenario, and early votes in Cobb and Hyde are splitting the winnings at 31% each. So definitely creating a lot of issues for people. Feel free to hit us up on that poll. So as we go through the games, and we continue to go through these all morning, you just talked a little bit about Colts-Packers, and I want to pivot over to the defense that you wanted to pick on the most next, which is the San Francisco 49ers. So Drew Brees, not typically great on the road, but he's had a couple of good road games this year.
Not as bad as you think.
That's right. He's had a couple of good road games this year. He was great in Oakland, I believe it was, or San Diego, I should say. And So this is an all-hands-on-deck kind of game, right? Now, Carlos Hyde, we just discussed that injury issue. But New Orleans, the one thing that is really a difficulty for a lot of people is the Mark Ingram-Tim Hightower thing. How do you think that will shake out?
You can ask, if we ask 10 people in the industry, you get 5 Ingram, 5 for Hightower.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
I have that conundrum in two leagues. I have Mark Ingram and Tim Hightower.
I have it as well. Not Ingram and Hightower. I have whether or not I'm going to start Ingram. And right now I've decided not to start Ingram.
The two leagues where I have Mark Ingram, I handcuffed him with Tim Hightower all year because I thought this could be – I didn't think this could be an issue. I thought Ingram's health could be an issue, but I didn't expect this to happen.
I got lucky in my two leagues. The leagues I have Ingram, those have to be the two leagues that I'm strong at running back. So in one league I'm starting, Forte would be over him, and Snead's going to go in my flex. And I think I'm okay there. I don't need to take the risk with Ingram. And in another league it's similar, where I don't need to take the risk. Most leagues you're probably going to need to take that risk. I think Ingram's going to be the guy. I don't think Peyton's going to the bench. I mean, if you watched the game last week, and I watched the little hour thing where you can watch it quickly, you could see that Hightower had a very good game, deserved the carries, but he left yards on the field. And it's because he doesn't have the speed that Ingram does. If Ingram gets those same plays, he'll get 40 more yards, not per play, but as a total.
Yep.
You can see, and obviously Peyton can see that too. He fumbled the ball, that's why he was benched. He's fumbled back-to-back games. He admitted during the week it was his fault, wasn't putting the blame on anybody else, so he stood up and blah, blah, blah. I think Peyton's got to like that. Now, Peyton has been weird with how he's used Ingram this year, pulling him out of goal line situations, pulling him out of the red zone at times as well. It's been strange. I don't know what's going on here. Hightower was certainly great last year in replace of Ingram, but he's not as good as Ingram. I think Ingram gets another shot. Now, if he fumbles again in the first quarter, yeah, he's going to be on a milk carton. You're not going to see him again. So there is some worry there. Maybe for the rest of the year. That wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, I think Tim Hightower gets the job then and until he loses it. And Tim Hightower's fumbling problems during the course of his career are worse than Mark Ingram's. So.
And I'm hedging my bets, by the way. Yeah. Deeper league, claimed Hightower. I had to start him this week. In my home league, Spencer Ware's out. Hightower's still available. Got to claim him. Probably going to do it during the show. Claim Hightower. And once again, going to have to start him this week. So I'm sort of hedging on both sides here. But if I had both and can only start one, I would go Ingram.
So that's what I'm going to do in both of those leagues. I came to the same conclusion that George did. I find it hard to believe that because of – listen, it's a recent fumbling issue. I don't think Mark Ingram's fumbling issues have really been a dearth to his career. I don't think he's been that kind of player. His injuries have been more an issue for fantasy owners than anything else. And I think you can expect him against a weaker defense here to go in and get some carries. Do they split it a little bit? Yeah, I could see that maybe. Since Hightower looked so good last week, maybe Peyton looks to save Mark Ingram a little bit. But I think Ingram gets the bulk of the carries here regarding another issue. And if he does fumble again, it's going to be a problem. So Saints, Niners, that's kind of where we're at. You said you like Kaepernick this week as well.
You think Kaepernick, a streaming quarterback. All right, high floor. We're going to give him what? Let's give him 50 rushing yards. So that's 5 points there.
Last week he had 60.
I could do more than that, but I'll say he gets 50 there.
Yep.
I think he's going to throw 222 yards. So it's 8 to 9 points there. Got to give him at least one touchdown. Does two shock you? No. So I think one could be on the ground. So that's 10 points there. I'll give him a turnover. Yeah, I think it was either whatever. So I minus two. So you're talking 13. That's 21 points right there. And that's not going to do much at all. That's 220 yards, two touchdowns, and 50 rushing yards. That's a pretty good floor for me.
Yeah.
I think there's upside there for him to get another touchdown to 75 yards rushing, whatever it might be. So I like that. Listen, I'm not starting over anybody that's great, but if you had Tom Brady.
Yeah, we have Palmer, Dalton,
Brady, Cousins,
and Cousins out. And I'm not going to talk about Osweiler or Cutler because
I'll take Kaepernick as a streamer of all of them. I think he's my number one streamer this week, mainly because of the defense he's playing and the high floor.
Yeah.
He may hit exactly the numbers I hit. I'll take 21 points. You tell me right now he's getting me 21 points for one of those guys we just talked about, I'll take it and run.
Yeah, and this is if Dak is gone and a few of the other guys we talked about. Dak was available in that league. We're in a pretty competitive league. Dak was available in our league this week. Now, I would imagine he's been picked up since this week because people saw the Browns are coming and all that good stuff. For me, I would never, ever carry three quarterbacks. In fact, a lot of times I don't even carry two. There's a really unique scenario for me that I had to bring in Dak because I don't like Stafford's matchup at all. So there you go. George likes Kaepernick this week. A lot of our DFS guys, which you can catch on dailyroto.com, They're shading Kaepernick too as a value play in cash games, so he's a possibility there. George mentioned Roto Experts earlier. You can go to the rotoexperts.com for the exclusive Edge package, enter radio for a discount. And George's article is in there. You get tons of good stuff each and every week. Waiver wire delights and lots of matchup questions. George's article each week is breaking down the defenses and which ones you can target. So obviously we've talked about a few of those already in the Colts and the Niners and the Saints. Carlos Hyde, we know you're going to be pulling your hair out on that one. Torrey Smith and Jeremy Curley, you said earlier you don't love Jeremy Curley. It's not Kaepernick's game. Not a great matchup for him. The Gabbert to Kaepernick switch has probably hurt Jeremy Curley more Absolutely. Than anything. But Torrey Smith, you know, Torrey Smith is the kind
we
of
We know what he is.
Exactly,
he's a home
right.
run play.
It's a home run hitter.
If you're going to use him, this is the week.
Right.
You know, the home run could be there. He'll certainly get some swings. There'll be some hanging curveballs there for the swing.
And Saints are banged up on D as well. More defensive players out for the Saints. And they were exactly right. They're one of the worst defenses in the league, if not the worst defense in the league. And they got some more injuries as well. So that's it on those couple of games. We're going to get back in the next segment with Cowboys, Browns, Eagles, Giants, and a few others. But you can give us a call today at 844-843-6879. We have Gary Davenport from Fantasy Sharks coming up in about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. He'll be talking about individual defensive players, talking about team defenses, talking about a few other things that are relevant this week. I'll round it out a little bit, the discussions with Gary. And continue to talk through some of those games and your lineup issues. So it's Mike and George, Roto Experts in the Morning on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Slow jams again. Slow jams early on a Saturday morning.
Hey, it's not 70s music. We had that 70s cop chasing music, classic, right?
Yeah.
TV shows?
Yeah, that's right. Hunter, that's early 80s.
I
got to go 80s.
Hunter was great.
Because 70s is a little early, like Heart to Heart. Would that have worked?
I wasn't a big Heart to Heart guy. Was
the
that
Streets of San Francisco?
Didn't like watch that's that way. Much. That's Michael way, Douglas and the other guy. Yeah.
That's way. That's before my time.
I was more like Starsky and Hutch, SWAT.
Starsky and Hutch and SWAT.
Rookies.
The Rookies. I don't know that. Who's in that?
I don't know if anybody popular was in it. It was regular TV show. Was it Adam? I'm looking. Yeah, like he watched. He's half my age. Adam, was it Adam 12?
He pointed to Pete Condisori, our producer. Just graduated.
Adam 12 was a big show. Remember Adam 12?
I know that. That is a old reference, though. I think that's maybe
probably before
mid-70s.
Yeah.
That would have been like 2 years old.
I have Starsky and Hutch of the DVDs.
All right, so there you go. That's our rundown on that'll be our next poll. What's your favorite 70s cop show? But all right, we'll check in. We'll check in our poll a little bit later on which player is causing you the most angst. So check us out on Twitter there at FNTSY Radio. So we've got a call here in a minute, but before we do that, I want you to let you know if attention to all daily fantasy sports players. You can now get your DFS fix before the sun rises. Join Tony Cincotta for DFS Today, presented by DailyRoto.com at 6:30 every weekday morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Early matchups, contrarian plays, analysis, and players to consider, all from one of the industry's best daily fantasy players. Cock-a-doodle, do you want to win? If so, check out DFS Today with Tony Cincotta at 6:30 every morning on demand at fntsy.com/radio or download the podcast on iTunes. So obviously you can download the app on your Android, download the app on your iPhone. If you're listening to us on your PC now, just download it onto your phone. You can listen whenever you want to whatever show you want. So we do have a call, and it is Terry from New Jersey. Terry, how are you?
Oh, great, guys. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. How's your team looking this year?
I'm 6-2.
There you
so
go.
I'm doing well. I've been at the top for like 7 weeks, so I think people are getting mad at me.
That's
but,
good.
But I have Gates, right? And Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
I'm always the last person to take a pick. And I lucked out 2 weeks ago, right before they played, I got Booker.
Okay.
So everyone was mad at me for that.
That's good,
but
though.
But if I have Hunter Henry and Gates, do I drop Hunter Henry for either, and I'm loaded at backs, but do I drop him for Perkins or Derrick Henry who got dropped?
Would you rather?
Oh, no, not Derrick Henry. I have Derrick Henry. I have. I mean, Kenneth Dixon got dropped, and there's Paul Perkins who might come out. I don't know what's wrong with Henry, Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry's got a knee problem and getting over a possible concussion as well, but it's the knee that's causing him issues right now. Do I drop? You got Gase, so I drop Henry, Perkins, Dixon. They're both gambles. Once again, yesterday with Jake Seeley and Scott Engel, I think Perkins has got to get some carries here, got to get more of a load here. Nobody else is doing anything there.
Yeah.
Right? Orleans Dark. Well,
can he do something?
We don't know. We don't know what he can do.
He had the one long run a few weeks back.
The problem with Perkins is they're worried that he's going to get Eli Manning killed, that he can't pick up the blitz. That's a legitimate worry.
It is a legitimate worry.
Absolutely legitimate. If you can't pick up the blitz, you're not on the
field. Most important player on the team.
But
get him killed.
Just had the bye week. You got to think they worked on this. I am interested in Ball and Perkins. But I believe, Terry, you said you're strong at running back?
Yeah, well, I have DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry, Freeman, Coleman, McCoy, Ware, and Booker.
Wow.
And I would need help with a wide receiver if you have time, but, you know, it's all
going to
play.
Yeah, just do the wide receiver. What do you got at wide receiver?
Yeah, I think I'll pass on Perkins and Dixon. You're not going to use them anyway. I'll keep your tight end depth just in case Gates gets hurt again.
So what do you have at wide receiver?
And then I have Will Evans, who played, and someone in my league was so mad. He's my, like, cousin's husband. He put... Are you allowed to curse on NFL? Like,
I wouldn't curse.
He put F Mike
Listen,
Evans.
No.
I have Cha-Cha all
have
over the place.
Yeah,
okay. Cha-Cha curses plenty.
He's so mad at me because I played Evans against him, but he has, like, Matty Ice, right?
Yeah.
And he has Antonio Brown. I mean, he can beat me, but who I have is Evans, who went. Cobb, who's probably not playing. So I have Snead and Cruz. I can drop Cruz for someone like keep Cruz or go with Tavon Austin, Goodwin, Patterson, Inman. But do I play Inman and Gates on the same team? Is that going to be high scoring?
Not massively high scoring, but I think
they're playing against a ball control team. Their play count will probably be down this week.
Problem is Travis Benjamin's playing.
Yeah.
Full practice yesterday, so we're not going to get the gift there of Inman being the number two. That's what I was waiting for.
Here's the picture that she's painted. Do we keep on both San Diego tight ends just to rotate them back in? You're never going to play both of those guys. You're never going to play both of those guys in the same week.
No, but Henry's the better player.
So you're saying you need to spot start Gates until Henry gets better.
Henry, until he got hurt, was a touchdown machine.
Yeah.
So that's my issue there. I mean, if I had to release him.
She's got weak wide receivers. Sure. She's got no depth. She's got Victor Cruz.
Losing Cobb hurts. Victor Cruz shouldn't be on your team. But you heard the options there.
Yeah.
Inman, Tavon Austin. I mean, Austin's got a decent matchup this week. It is the Panthers. Everybody else eats against them. Why couldn't he? But it's a gamble. It's going to be him. It's going to be Britt. It's going to be Quick. They're not all going to eat.
God, I hate playing Tavon Austin. But if you get him on the right week, home run city. So I think he's – I mean, who are you going to release, though? I'd rather release Victor Cruz than either of those tight ends.
Cruz would go for me.
So I think if you need – since Cobb is hurting you there, I think you're going to need to release Victor Cruz since you're not going to play him and then pick up Tavon Austin to play him this week. Don't release either of the tight ends because, like George just outlined, you're in a better position having Henry long-term than, say, any of these other bench players you're talking about. Don't worry about the running backs. You're deep enough. You don't need to continue to stack running backs when you're a little weaker at wide receiver. So Henry, since he's the better player, we'd rather have him long term. No need to cut him. We cut Cruz and pick up Tavon Austin for this week. Does that make sense?
I like it.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Terry. I appreciate it. Good luck. Hopefully, get to 7-2 this week and give us a call back anytime.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right. Good stuff. So, Terry walking us through her team there. She listens to us and gives us a call regularly. So, hopefully, we've helped her to that 6-2 matchup. So, to continue back towards some of the games, George, your very own Dallas Cowboys going up against the Cleveland Browns. Zeke, you know, I don't know if you're a big believer in bulletin board material, but Zeke said some things that he tries to impose his will on opposing players and that they don't really want to tackle him. So I don't know if the Browns are the team to teach him a lesson, but he put himself out there.
Well, if you're going to put bulletin board, bulletin board material up, this will be the week to do it.
Jamie Collins is there now, so maybe he can do something about it. Jamie Collins, obviously traded earlier this week.
Maybe
by
it's
the
not
Pats.
Elliott they're worried about. Maybe it's the 9,000 pounds of offensive linemen coming at you you're a little bit more worried about.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how much they've dominated. So Zeke Elliott, you love this week. I just detailed that I'm going to play Dak Prescott over Matt Stafford this week. So George said he's a top 10 play this week. I will be doing that. You got Dez back in the mix now, obviously. You like Dez this week, obviously.
Of course. I believe the best stat as far as quarterbacks is concerned for in Dak's favor is that last week was the first week a starting quarterback did not throw at least two touchdown passes against Cleveland. All right, I mean, that's a pretty sad stat there. Also pretty stiff, and Mark Fitzpatrick couldn't live that up.
Mark Fitzpatrick, you blended the two. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, Mark is an ex-Islander goalie. Been doing that.
I thought it was a Mark Sanchez slash Ryan Fitzpatrick of blend.
That's where Mark Fitzpatrick's from.
Backup Islanders goalie comes into the show. I don't know how that happened, but it just did.
George, hey, man, Columbus Blue Jackets, 10 goals last night against the Canadiens.
That's right. Wow. People were saying it before the show, 10-0 Blue Jackets over Canadiens. So,
had Foligno on my DFS team.
Hot hockey talk early on a Saturday morning.
10 goals, man. You know what? That's like scoring 70 points in football.
It's a lot. You don't see that. And a shutout as well. So, Cole Beasley this week?
Yes. PPR league, yes. I would assume he could have some value. There's a league. I'm waiting. He comes off the waivers today that I want to grab him in. Not the league you and I are in, so I don't feel I have to worry about you taking him on me.
I can't. I can't cut anybody. We just went through this.
Well, you can't.
Taking a zero.
You just don't want to cut anybody.
Yeah.
But, yes, I think Beasley have a decent game. Yeah, PPR league, I think he gets double-digit points. Yeah, Dez is a must-start. Obviously, Elliott and Bryant are going. Dak, we already talked about. That's about it on the Dallas side. Witten could be one of those tight end replacements we talked about. But there's not massive upside here. Once again, what I said about Fleener earlier is Witten's upside, 440 touchdown. I think that's what you're hoping for there. That's what from Witten, that's really the what you hope for every week. Obviously, he's not going to score 16 touchdowns. Touchdowns will be once every three, four games on average. So maybe that the game winner last week takes him through to December.
So, Browns, you shocked about the move to Cody Kessler?
No, we are, once again, old school fantasy. Listen, we're team 1-2 with Scott Engel and Jake Seale. And I, we discussed a lot of these things during the week. And we debated about this on Thursday. I think there's two schools of thought here. Browns are 0-8, right? They're not going anywhere. They're not making the playoffs. They should be playing for two things. One, the number one pick next year where they can fix their quarterback problem. Two, to find out, is Kessler the man? You know, can he be the man? Can he be at least the number two? They need to find that out, right? We know what McCown is. Would McCown give them a better chance to win tomorrow against Dallas?
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's any doubt about that. If you're a fantasy owner, if you have Corey Coleman, Terrell Pryor, do you want McCown behind center? Of course you do. You know, it'd be a higher scoring game. But I think Hugh Jackson's doing the exact right thing for his team, for the NFL. He needs to find out about Kessler.
Do you think that he owes it to the rest of the team to put the best quarterback, the quarterback gives him the best chance to win, under center?
I think he needs to do what's best for the organization, not the team.
Do you think it's Hugh Jackson's call, or do you think it's the call made above him?
I would hope it's Hugh Jackson's call, but that's an interesting question. We know with Dallas, it's never Jason Garrett's call.
And they got a really interesting organizational structure.
They've
in
gone
now.
A little.
They went baseball style.
DePodesta. So that's
Sashi Brown still makes moves there, obviously. But
NFL wise, I thought they made the right call with Kessler. fantasy wise, I would have rather seen McCown. I own Pryor in several leagues. That being said, you already said it. Morris Claiborne, Dallas' top cornerback. He's out until December.
You think Cody Kessler's an interesting maybe DFS option here, like in a tournament?
We set up. We were trying to beat early yesterday. I forget who we were trying to set up. There, you can get good quarterbacks here.
Yeah.
For decent price, still have a great fantasy team. You don't need to go that far down, is what I'm trying to say here. So, no, I'm not starting Kessler. I would think about him in a two quarterback league. I think he could be interesting in 12 team, two quarterbacks. Super flex league, sure. But other than that, no. I'm still starting Terrell Pryor, though. I think he does well. Corey Coleman, my only thing against him would be I tend to be a little shy starting players their first game back from multi week injuries. But that was blown up last week. Dez touchdown, Moncrief touchdown. Eifert really came back the week before. Reed had a big game. So maybe you don't need to be conservative. Maybe you just throw Corey Coleman in there right away. If we think Cleveland's going to be trailing, it means they'll be throwing.
Yep.
Right? So he'll get his chances. Dallas is a weaker cornerback, weak in the secondary. Gary Barnage. Dallas does not do well against tight ends.
That's right.
Barnage is in the lineup.
Like Barnage a lot this week. You mentioned Isaiah Crowell.
I can't see how you're not starting him.
Yeah.
I don't think big things are coming, but can you do better than Crowell unless you're starting one running back? I can't.
Probably not. I mean, I got Derrick Henry, and I'm kind of happy about it in some lineups.
That pretty
you know
much
I mean?
Tells you where we are.
I felt good about Derrick Henry a couple of weeks ago. I started him in one league, and there was no indication that he was going to play that much. Murray ends up getting hurt, and it really helped me, but I was happy to take sort of like the 7 or 8 points that I thought I was going to get out of Derrick Henry, and it turned into 18 or 19. So you got what you got there with the Browns. Moving over to the next game, Eagles at Giants. Kind of a big game within the context of the NFC East. Dallas is likely to move up yet another game. So
stop
one of these
jinxing me. You be quiet. You.
These teams are trying to keep pace.
Go Ravens.
With the Cowboys. I'm a Steelers fan, so that's why George lobbed that out there. So Dallas could be yet another game in front of one of these teams. Giants and Eagles both at 4-3. They kind of, as much as the Eagles look good earlier in the season, I think we see some of the issues that they've had. They get a nice win last week against Minnesota, who obviously things fell apart with Minnesota this week. We'll get to the Zimmer situation a little bit. The North Turner situation. A little bit later. But Eagles, Giants. They have a lot of wacky games in the history of this rivalry. Is this another week where you get Odell, you can expect big things out of him, or you have tempered expectations?
I think he's a start, so it doesn't matter what exactly you feel. He's definitely going in there. It's a big game for Week 9. You know, I think it's a bigger Week 9 game as you can get. The loser goes back to 500. You mentioned the Cowboys probably going to win. I wouldn't say definitely, but probably going to win. That puts them at 7 wins. The losers, game's 3 games behind Dallas.
That's huge.
That's really huge. Especially for Philadelphia, they already lost a game to Dallas.
That's right.
Giants did win a game, so if they win again, you know, they can win a tiebreaker. So I would say it's a bigger game for Philadelphia in that way. Plus, can Philadelphia lose another game, another divisional game? So it's a big game. I think it's definitely a big game here. Philadelphia, they become a dink-and-dunk offense. If you watch that game Sunday night, did Carson Wentz even attempt to throw the ball more than 10 yards past the line of scrimmage? And I'm not joking here. I don't think he did. I know they showed a graphic at one time. He didn't go anything higher than 15, I believe.
Yep.
It was dink, dunk, dink, dunk. That works for somewhat. But you saw what slowed down Philadelphia is that on some of those dink and dunks, they would throw a ball behind the line of scrimmage. It would be 2nd and 3. All of a sudden, it's 3rd and 6. Mm-hmm. You don't get that first.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes much more difficult. PPR league, it was good for Matthews last week, but that's it. They don't use Zach Ertz at all. The running game's a disaster.
I know.
Darren Sproles looks to be the starter now over Ryan Matthews, but Matthews may be the goal line guy, so they used him last week. I mean, Sproles, fine. He's a flex wide receiver for me. I like him more in a PPR. Obviously, Matthews, I really want nothing to do with right now. Giants.
No running game for the Giants. Both tight end situations are a mess.
Yeah, Giants, I want nothing to do with tight ends. Beckham starts for me. Even, you know, Shepard and Cruz are becoming iffy starts. You know, I like Shepard a lot early in the league, not so much now. Eli Manning is in my top 12, mainly because of the guys who are out, but I'm not expecting a huge game for him here. I think both teams are going to pressure the opposing quarterback.
One thing we didn't touch on, Eagles wide receivers. What do you think there?
Matthews, I mentioned Matthews. PPR, they're going to go Matthews. That's it. Who else are you going for? Yeah, Aguilar, doesn't think dropping balls is a big deal.
Terrell Green Beckham, I think, had five or six catches last week.
Yeah, but they were both dropping passes, and obviously Huff had the legal problems. He's no longer on the team.
Yeah.
The Eagles, let's face it, why have they been winning some games? It's been defense and special teams are turning touchdowns. That's why they've been winning.
Yeah.
Not so much the offense at the beginning of the year. So the Eagles have some issues, and they should. Rookie quarterback, this is generally going to happen, and you don't have playmakers anywhere. This is not like with the Cowboys or Prescott. They have a top running back, top wide receiver. Eagles don't have this.
Yeah. So kind of come back to earth a little bit. Huge week there for Eagles and Giants. We'll talk Steelers, Ravens, Titans, Chargers in subsequent segments. But coming up after the break is Gary Davenport from Bleacher Report and Fantasy Sharks. We're going to talk IDPs, talk a few other things about the NFL. It's Mike Blewett and George Kurtz on Roto Experts in the Morning this Saturday edition. Back in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome back. Roto Experts Weekend Morning Show. I'm George Kurtz. Mike Blewett is in the sport. I think Mike is still a little rough trying to debate about doing. I didn't release Barber. I got Dak Prescott. I got to start Stafford. Mike's all worried about this. Maybe it's the Ravens tomorrow he's worried about.
Not even a little bit. Steelers are going to dominate tomorrow and get themselves back on the right track. I need to get the Steelers to 11 wins on the year.
Oh, you need to get them?
I do because I have.
Are you
them
one of those guys? Oh, we won yesterday.
Not really.
And is Mike Tomlin sending you a ring?
No.
No?
No, I say
that drives me insane when people say that.
I need the Wii thing. I know it really bugs certain people. So, but I need them to get to 11 wins on the year. I have them over 10.5. I play a little competition with some friends. I'm sure some of you do the same, where you pick teams on the year. We do a little snake draft. It's not really working out well for me. I think I'll probably go 3-2 on the year. I had the Cardinals over 9.5. I thought that was easy. Now they have to go.
I like the Cardinals too, so I can't knock you there.
3-4-1. So through 8 games, I need to get them to 10 wins. They need to go 7 of their last 8 in order to clear that one.
Yeah, I ain't liking that. I think that could be a little rough there. I like playing those little polls. I mean, listen, I had Arizona winning the NFC. I thought they were going to the Super Bowl.
Yes, yeah, we both did. That was not something that I anticipated would happen yet this year. We're going to have Derek Davenport in a few minutes, just having troubles getting connected with him. So we will get back to him in a minute. But, I want to talk about my other selections here.
I see. Gary's a Browns fan, isn't he?
He is.
Keep him on hold forever.
yeah. So
be right with you, Gary. Sure, we will. Yeah, right.
You can't be worried about that game tomorrow, George. Cody Kessler started.
I am worried about this. This is the game the Cowboys would lose. Yeah. No doubt. Man. They had beat the Eagles, right? Big
6
game.
In a row.
Beat the
They're
Eagles,
going for
the
first 7-game win streak since 2007.
You and I aren't talking next week either, by the way.
Oh, Steelers, that's right.
That's right. Steelers down, so it's
In Pittsburgh, right?
I'm going to say it's in Dallas, but I'm not sure.
I think it's in all right, we'll check on that in a minute. So what else are we going to
talk right now?
What else are we going to talk about? Oh, yeah, my other selections there. So I also picked Steelers. So I had the Steelers over 10.5. They need to get to 11 wins. I have the Cardinals over 9.5. I have the Colts under 9.5. So I feel pretty good about that. And because they are 3-5 currently. And I have Houston over 8.5. So 5-3 at this point in the season. I feel pretty good about the Texans getting to 9 wins. They just got to go 4-4.
It is at Pittsburgh, by the way.
So, and then what was my fifth bet? Oh, Falcons. Probably my best shape. I had the Falcons over 7.5. So
I like your chances there.
So they just got to win 2 more. Now, they did collapse last year in the second half of the season. They went 2-6 down the stretch. I had picked them last year, and they missed by a half a game because they went 2-6 down the stretch. So we do have Gary Davenport with us.
Boo!
Gary, you're a Browns fan. George is a Cowboys fan, so that's why you get the boo on the way in, although I find it to be rather rude for our esteemed guest such as yours to get booed on the way in. But I hope things are well with you. How's everything?
Really, you're going to kick a Browns fan while he's down.
Yeah, I am this week, yeah.
They're 0-8, George. What do you want?
I mean, yeah, like we're some kind of threat.
So, Gary, this week we got some pretty interesting defensive matchups, obviously. Niners, Saints, kind of an all-hands-on-deck kind of game. Same with Packers, Colts. So give us a couple of tidbits from those games, and what do you expect to see out of any of the defenses, if anything? Can anybody be productive from an individual defensive player standpoint?
Niners, Saints, love Cameron Jordan, Saints defensive line. Could not like Antoine Bethea more than I do this week against that Saints passing attack. Like Nick Ballore, the inside linebacker for the 49ers. My only concern with him, I don't know that it's going to happen this week, is that he has struggled from an NFL perspective. So I wonder, we've seen Gerald Hodges and Michael Wilhoit kind of be a carousel at that other inside linebacker spot, and I'm curious to see whether Ballore might get swept up into that at some point in the future. Colts Packers with 6 teams on a bye. I know a lot of folks are looking for somebody that they can plug into their lineups. Jake Ryan, the inside linebacker for the Packers, isn't necessarily playing every down. He's leaving the field in some sub packages, but he's available in a lot of leagues. The Colts, in a lot of scoring systems, are giving up the most fantasy points to linebackers. So I think Ryan is a guy that you can plug in. I'm not saying he's going to light up the stat sheet and win the week for you, but I think he's a guy that you can plug in this week that by the time the dust settles and you look, he'll be like, okay, I can live with that production.
All right, Gary, let's talk about your Browns a little bit here. Jamie Collins, what do you think?
From an NFL perspective, you got to like the move. And from an IDP perspective, I think I don't necessarily see how it can hurt Jamie Collins' value, if anything else. He's just going to see that many more snaps because the Browns defense has had so much trouble getting off the field and there's not as much competition for tackles. It was very interesting to me as a football fan to watch, 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago, Jamie Collins is one of the 4 or 5 best inside linebackers in the National Football League. And then all of a sudden the Patriots decide to make this trade, and you see article after article explaining why Jamie Collins is a bum. So that sort of surprised me a little bit. I think from a fantasy perspective, I think Chris Kirksey's going to be okay in Cleveland. A lot of fantasy owners were freaking out. Kirksey has played very well this year against the run. Both he and Demario Davis have been just atrocious in pass coverage. So I expect that Collins is going to take over for Davis at inside linebacker, and it's going to be him and Kirksey. I mean, Demario Davis has just been horrible in Cleveland with his first year with the Browns. So I think he's probably going to be headed to the bench. Had a lot of fantasy owners ask me if they should start Collins this week, if at all possible. And it's unfortunate because the Cowboys are such a good matchup for linebackers. If at all possible, I would probably stay away from him this week. I just don't know how many snaps he's going to see. I mean, he's only had a few days to get some sort of familiarity with the playbook. So I think we could see kind of a rotation between him and Davis this week. But by week 10, I think Jamie Collins is going to be right back to the LB1 territory that we've become accustomed to.
Yeah, that was really what I was going to ask. It's a lot to ask a player to come in right away, regardless of how good they are, to come in and play a full load of snaps. It, you know, he'd be out there freelancing a lot, which ironically is the thing that people seem to have been highlighting as led to his departure. And you had a tweet that summed it up perfectly, and I was going to bring it up, and you just summarized it just a minute ago, where one week ago Jamie Collins is one of the best linebackers in football, and from reading my Twitter feed today, apparently now he's a lazy turd, that he just wasn't putting in a full effort. I had read things from guys like Mike Lombardi that were saying, look at the tape, he's freelancing all the time, he's not playing within the scheme. I think this is a variety of issues that led to this. I think Belichick couldn't be more thrilled that he got a chance to send him to Cleveland to kind of teach a lesson to a player that wasn't playing within the scheme, perhaps. And also, I think there were contract issues there. They don't pay up for people like this. Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins both depart the Pats in the last 6 months. Two tremendously impactful players, one with off-the-field issues, and now one apparently with maybe contractual, and maybe he's freelancing a little bit. They did bring in some other players recently, like Kyle Van Noy, to potentially take some snaps from Collins, and now you find him here. I mean, do you think it's more contract than on-field stuff, or I'd love your take on that.
I think it's probably a combination of the two. I mean, Belichick has never been a player. I mean, never been a coach who wants to see his players go off script. I mean, I can remember a time years and years and years ago.
Hello?
Or not.
I can remember a time years and years ago where Belichick benched Bernie Kosar when he was the head coach in Cleveland because Kosar caught an audible on a play after Belichick had strictly forbidden him to. And he threw a touchdown pass on the play. So there's all of it. But I also think a lot of it has to do with contract. And in that regard, I mean, okay, Belichick wanted to punish Jamie Collins by sending him to Cleveland. Cleveland is one of the teams in the National Football League that can afford to give Jamie Collins the $10, $11, $12 million a season. Cleveland's $40-something million under the salary cap. So it's not going to be, assuming that they want to bring him back come next season, it's not going to be a problem for them. They can write that check easily.
Yeah, it'd be a lot to commit, though, considering the number of positions that they need to upgrade. It'd be a lot to commit to somebody like that. But he's an impact defensive player. Like, at some point, you got to spend money on somebody. I think it makes sense. It was a really interesting trade. It was effectively the Pats just cutting a player that they felt like wasn't going to be on the team next year. But I didn't see why they didn't just let him play out the string. Do you know what I mean? And take the compensation pick. So he was sending a message.
And I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, come playoff time, come the postseason. I mean, this is a defense that could have Jamie Collins and Chandler Jones still on the field as they're making this run toward, it looks like, you know, I think that you have to consider them probably the favorites in the AFC right now, making a run toward trying to win another championship. They could have Chandler Jones rushing the passer, something that they've struggled at. And now it looks like they're going to count on a rookie in Landon Roberts to step in and replace Jamie Collins. It's going to be interesting to see if that comes back to haunt them once they make it into the postseason. You know, I think occasionally, through the years, we've seen Bill Belichick be a little bit too smart for his own good. And I think this might be one of those times.
I might actually agree there. I think it was very surprised to see him to go at this point. What's going on with Seattle? How about Cam Chancellor? You liking this defense? I know we don't like it as much without Chancellor. Do you think Buffalo could take advantage of the Seattle defense, assuming Chancellor doesn't play once again Monday night?
You know, Kelsey McCray's actually played pretty well for Seattle at strong safety. I just, in Seattle, primetime game, you know, Buffalo's got injury problems of their own, although it looks like LeSean McCoy's going to try to give it a go. I think Seattle's probably going to win that game fairly handily. I just don't know that Buffalo is going to be in a position in that game where they can really do what they like to do on offense. I think they may be forced to throw the ball a little more than they usually do, and that's not a situation you want the Bills to find themselves in, especially in that stadium, in front of those fans, at night. You know it's going to be nigh impossible to hear, so I would think we're going to see Seattle win that one probably by double digits. And it looks like Seattle's one of the better teams. The NFC is – there is no team that you look at in the NFC right now and say, okay, there's your Super Bowl team. I mean, you've got Seattle, you've got Dallas, you've got Atlanta, I think, is a legitimate contender now. And I just don't know that there's one team that's head and shoulders better than everybody else.
Speaking of Seattle, you have Cliff Averill is your IDP start of the week. He was named NFC Defensive Player of the Month for October. I think probably, you know, those types of things can go under the radar for a lot of fantasy fans. But give us a minute as to why he's been so good and how he's been able to pick up play. And this is a guy that kind of was on the free agent market a couple of years ago, didn't get a deal that he was looking for, but now here he is in Seattle, and he's thriving at this point of the year. What do you think is the reason for that?
He's a guy that, even going back to his time with the Detroit Lions, was always prone to hot streaks, and occasionally for 2 or 3 weeks, he'd just catch fire. And that was certainly the case in the month of October with Seahawks. I think he had 6.5 sacks just in the month of October. And he's leading defensive linemen in the NFL in sacks right now. He's leading defensive linemen. In most scoring systems, he's leading defensive linemen in fantasy points. He's just having a great year. And he was always, you know, he's a guy that's got 12, 13 sack outside. He's playing the run this year really well, which is kind of funny. He was always a guy who was more pass rusher than a run defender, which meant his tackle numbers were never great. So you almost had to count on him for that big play or you were risking the dreaded donut. You know, I like the matchup with Buffalo this week. I think they're third or fourth in fantasy points allowed to defensive linemen so far this season. Like I said, the Seahawks are going to be playing at home, which always seems to light a fire under him, and Averill's going to see a full complement of snaps. I like Frank Clark this week for the same reason, with Michael Bennett out for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Both Averill and Clark are going to be on the field more than they normally would be, which just gives them that many more opportunities to produce in a favorable matchup.
Gary, I'm looking at the Detroit Lions defense. My God, Haloti Ngata, questionable. Ansa, questionable. Levy, out. Darius Slay, questionable. Is there anybody left here?
Jahir Whitehead's about it. Him and Devin Taylor are about the only two guys that have been out there most of the season. Ansa has clearly not been himself, although this week is a nice matchup if he's anywhere close to healthy. You think maybe this is week, especially given how that Minnesota offensive line looked Monday night against the Chicago Bears, you think, okay, maybe this is the week Ansa finally gets his first sack. And for that reason, I want to be optimistic about him, but he's just clearly not himself. And you've got DeAndre Levy. I don't know if we'll ever see DeAndre Levy set foot on a football field again, to be honest. I mean, hasn't played a snap this year, barely played a handful of snaps last year, and we can't get any kind of straight answer out of the Lions about what's wrong with him. So at this point, I would have advised IDP owners a month and a half ago, he's on your, there's no reason to keep him on your roster. I don't know if I would even keep him on my roster if there were an IR slot that I could use to keep him stashed in that, because that's an IR slot that I could be using for a guy that I know is coming back at some point, and I don't know that I can say that at this point about DeAndre Levy.
We're with Gary Davenport of Bleacher Report and Fantasy Sharks. And, Gary, one last thing on your IDP Studs and Duds article. A couple of big names that you don't really love for production this week. Bobby Wagner, middle linebacker of the Seahawks. Danielle Hunter from the Vikings. And, additionally, C.J. Mosley from the Baltimore Ravens. A few guys that are usually plug-and-play guys that you think might be best if you went in another direction for this week.
Hunter's a matchup call, and he's cooled off. It was white hot start season. It's cooled off a little bit late, and the Lions just aren't a favorable matchup. It's defensive lineman like that. It's always going to be kind of hit or miss. Whether or not you get that big game out of them, I'm just not crazy about the matchup this week. Although with six teams on a bye on the defensive line, odds are you're going to have to start. C.J. Mosley, same thing with the Steelers have been a surprisingly bad matchup for linebackers. Zach Ertz outpointed Mosley most of the season, and he's been hurt, so I wonder if he's still not going to be maybe a step slower than we're used to seeing him, so maybe give him a week to get his sea legs back up under him before we throw him back out there. With Bobby Wagner, the Bills are dead last, I think, in fantasy points allowed to linebackers, which is kind of surprising given how much they like to run the ball. And the game was in Seattle, and God love the 12th man and the fans there, but the scorekeepers are paying the you-know-what. They're one of the most assist-heavy stat crews in the National Football League. So you combine a bad matchup, and let's say that Bobby goes out there, and instead of getting 10 total tackles, he gets 7 total tackles. Well, the problem with that is that in Seattle, odds are that 7 total tackle stat line, rather than being, you know, 6 solos and an assist, it's going to be 2 solos and 5 assists. Or 3 solos and 4 assists. And that's just not the stat line you're looking for from an LB1.
Gary, one last question for me. Are you worried about the Denver defense at all? Can Derek Carr take advantage of it? No Aqib Talib this week.
That's going to be interesting to see. I mean, Bradley Roby is a very talented young cornerback. He's a very athletic young quarterback. He's a guy that I like a lot in cornerback required IDP leagues this week with Talib out going up against those Raiders wide receivers. Because Roby is a kid that can tackle coming off. He was AFC Defensive Player of the Week last week. But he's a lot easier to burn also than Bradley Roby. He's susceptible to play fakes, play action, that sort of thing. And it's going to be really interesting to see if Amari Cooper can get behind him for a long one. How big would it be to see the Oakland Raiders beat the Broncos in Oakland? I mean, how long has it been since there was a game this big, this late in the season in the black hole? It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Looking forward to that matchup for certain. Gary, great to have you on the program yet again. We will talk to you next week.
Oh, yeah. Have a good one, gentlemen.
That was Gary Davenport. He's from IDP. He's at IDP Sharks on Twitter. You can find him on Fantasy Sharks and more content on Bleacher Report. Knows his stuff about everything regarding the NFL and fantasy football. We talked to him a little bit about the defensive side of things here every Saturday morning. So it's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning, the Saturday edition. We'll be back in a couple of minutes on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning. If you just want to win your fantasy league and not worry about stacks, GPPs, or contrarian plays, then Old School Fantasy is a show for you. Fantasy Sports Writers Association Hall of Famer Scott Engel and award-nominated writer George Kurtz and Jake Seeley give you all you need to know to coolly run roughshod through your season-long leagues. The fun begins at 1 p.m. Eastern every weekday, Old School Fantasy, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on demand at fntsy.com/radio or available for download on iTunes each and every day. George, you and Jake and Scott having fun, bringing Cha-Cha in for a little fun slash craziness
yelling. The last segment is brought to you by Advil.
It's explicit language sometimes uttered during that segment. So
sometimes.
There's kids listening. Maybe you listen from 1 to 140. Maybe not as much from 140 to 2. But in any event, that's where we're at, George, doing that show each and every day, focusing a lot on how to win your season-long leagues. Scott, obviously, can tell you how to make any waiver wire moves, considering he's got 38 waiver wire moves. That is through 9 weeks.
You know, it's funny. It's funny you should bring out the waiver wire moves.
That's a ridiculous average.
In that show.
It's a over four waiver wire moves a week.
I've made 7, okay? But in that league, Chach actually got mad at Scott.
Because
Scott was making moves that, not in that league, another league. I think the Greenwich Tavern League. Scott would make moves at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. And it's upset Cha-Cha. Like there's something wrong with that. Why?
Because Scott has an advantage because he gets up early? Is that the thing?
So we're going to punish somebody? Oh, sorry, you can't make moves between 1 a.m. and 7 a.m. What does that matter? Scott gets up early because he goes to work early.
That's it.
You know,
set your clock early if you want. Right, what do you want to do?
But Cha-Cha made it sound like there's something wrong with that. What's wrong with that? What's it to make a move at 4 a.m. or 4 p.m.? You know, because you're not at your computer? That's not Scott's fault. You know, if I was up that late, I'd be making moves, too. That's when I'm looking at my computer. I'm not looking for an advantage. It's when I'm looking at my teams.
Here's all you got to do. This is really easy. You put an alarm on your phone. Because every guy that plays fantasy sports is constantly looking at their phone all week long. I do it. George does it. We're all doing it, constantly looking for every piece of info you could possibly get. Set reminders on your phone so you know to put the waiver wire moves in.
I am not setting an alarm at 4 a.m. to put in waiver
wire. Not 4 a.m. I'm saying the night before. So make sure you put everything you put in.
Probably the hardest thing about playing.
How much information is Scott going to have from the time you go to bed on Wednesday to the time he wakes up on Thursday? It's very little.
Yeah,
the waiver wire moves at 11 o'clock at night.
That's what I do. You know, I know most of my leagues, the way Fab runs Wednesday nights. That's generally the average for most leagues.
This
Wednesday
one's
nights.
Tuesday. Our stupid Joe's B Pros league is Tuesday. Yeah, it's crazy for an expert league.
I don't like that. I prefer Wednesday. One league is Thursday morning, which is fine.
Yeah.
Same thing. I don't mind that. At least gives you one practice during the week so you know who's hurt and who's not. Tuesday, you know, generally the players are off, so you don't find out much information there. Monday players come in, you know, do some work, and then Tuesday they're off. Wednesday is really when practices start, so I prefer Wednesday, Thursday. But I just found that amusing. The charts, I thought that was wrong. I'm like, why?
No, nothing wrong about it.
I'm not protecting Scott, but why?
There's nothing wrong with it.
It didn't bother me, at least.
The way he does things. So we still have that Twitter poll up. We're still continuing to get more votes. LeSean McCoy has taken the lead, actually. So he was not leading early, but it's LeSean McCoy at 43%, Randall Cobb at 23%, Carlos Hyde right there at 22%, Delanie Walker at 12%. The question is, which questionable player is causing you the most angst? And we think all four of those players could go either way. McCoy, I can understand why he's leading because it's a Monday night game.
That's going to be a problem.
I mean, it's going to be an issue for people.
My problem with McCoy is going to be that I think he's going to play, but I don't think he's going to finish the game. I don't think he's at 100%, and it's a lousy matchup.
Yeah.
So I don't even if he does play, even if he's at 85%, he plays. I'm just not seeing big points being put on the board here.
Yeah, I got a few tweets here that I'll read off to George. Well, first, a buddy of mine texted me a question during the show: Quincy Enunwa or Mike Wallace?
Wallace.
Go Mike Wallace.
I don't mind Enunwa, but Mike Wallace, that offense has been designed around him lately. You know they're going to take their home run shots.
I had him for a few weeks in one league, and it just was not working out. I ended up releasing him, but I upgraded. Oh. I got Edelman, and I got Beasley, so I got a few other guys.
The thing was, the offense, if you know, before the bye week, especially when Smith was out, they would throw up four or five deep balls to him. They were hoping for A, obviously a completion, or B, a penalty, a pass interference call, and they were getting it. You know, Wallace was doing some damage here, so I'll go Wallace here. Pittsburgh doesn't have the greatest defense. They'll take their chances deep again.
Yeah, of course.
I don't mind a new move, by the way.
Yeah, so Steve G, guy that listens to us every week, I think he's
at the gym.
What is he? Weights.
Pumping on.
Cardio, weights, and the Roto Experts. I think that's our slogan. I keep forgetting to use it, but that's coined by Steve G. He is, is this the week that Brandon Marshall comes back and finally gets double-digit points in a PPR league? And also, should we be worried about Michael Thomas's illness?
He's got an illness ankle. I'm not worried about Michael Thomas. He'll be fine. Too good a matchup there. I'm starting Thomas. He's, you know, I think it's what, since week 2, he's got more fantasy points than Brandon Cook, something like that. Something to chew on there.
Interesting.
So Thomas is in my lineup. I'm not worried about that. As for Brandon Marshall, the Miami defense isn't bad. Defensive line is good. Linebackers are okay. Secondary is where they can be beat.
They play all over the map, that defense, though.
Yeah, well, they have some issues. I mean, we heard, if you live in New York, you heard Marshall been mouthing off about, I can't remember the defensive back's name now, that he always holds me, does this, does that. So that's going to add some intrigue to it. He's trying to get some calls with the officials there, having to watch that. The Miami secondary can be beat. Can Fitzpatrick get on the ball? That's the question here. Double-digit points PPR? Sure. I'll go with that.
Yeah. I kind of like that, too. Who else we got here? Daryl Peterson tweets at us in a PPR. Would you trade C-Mike and Travis Benjamin for Allen Robinson and Tevin Coleman? So Christian Michael
for
and Travis Benjamin for Allen Robinson and Tevin Coleman.
Easily.
Currently injured Tevin Coleman.
I was just reading about that. They are hoping Coleman will come back next game. So they do have a bye to worry about, too, in there, Atlanta. So keep that in mind. Another week he could have off.
Yeah.
But Michael's going to have some issues when Rawls comes back. You know, I think Michael's still going to be the starter.
I expect it to happen.
Not next week. No, so it's still, I think, at least 2-3 weeks away. I still expect Michaels to be the starter there, but obviously Rawls is going to get some touches as well. So that's an issue there. Thomas Rawls, he ran well Monday, but he won't play this week. It's at least another week, probably 2 weeks. It looks like they are targeting November 13th, so they are targeting next game for Rolls. But let's say it's the week after that. But well, I'll take Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson has not been what we paid for him at draft time. You know, that top six wide receiver, and he's not going to be that.
How do you like him with the new offensive coordinator moving forward? Do you think it's going to help him?
Who knows? The targets were always there. You know, so that, I don't see how the offensive coordinator is going to change that. That's mechanics on Bortles. He's going to get on the ball. We saw last week.
It's a Thursday night game.
Yeah, the person no longer with us made the comment that, or was it you? I think, oh, no, sorry, it was Jake Seeley. He made a comment, does he need glasses? And I think Jake Seeley was half joking, half telling the truth. And I was thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because he'd be throwing the ball from here to me to you, which is 5 feet, but he'd be throwing the ball 2 feet left. It was weird.
He was missing Robinson on short passes.
Right, and that's not always the receiver's fault, right in the wrong patterns. Something seemed to be wrong with Bortles here. Maybe that gets better. Maybe it doesn't.
I think Allen Robinson is probably amongst the most frustrated players in the league right now because his play has been fine. They've been targeting him closer to the line of scrimmage, which is bad for fantasy players, and he's been missing him.
Yes.
Like you said, the targets have been there all along. In fact, I was looking at targets. So currently, per game, Allen Robinson ranks sixth in the league with 10 targets per game, tied with Amari Cooper and Odell Beckham. The only guys per game that have more targets than him are Larry Fitzgerald, T.Y. Hilton, Antonio Brown, A.J. Green, and Mike Evans. Mike Evans, by the way, a healthy lead there on targets at nearly 13 per game. So he was a guy that Mike Evans and you and I called on, said would probably lead the league in targets this year. And it is playing out to be the case because they're trailing a lot, and he has been racking up big numbers. So that's where we're at on Allen Robinson. We do like that trade then. Allen Robinson and Tevin Coleman, you get that for C. Mike and Travis Benjamin. I just don't know what Travis Benjamin is going to be,
that's the thing.
Really.
Benjamin,
I just don't know.
You always worry when a player starts complaining about his injury.
Yep.
Because then he's worried more about that than he is about playing. He mentioned the knee is sore. He's got a grade 2. Grade 2 is a serious sprain, and let's face it, a sprain means a tear. Mm-hmm. That's what a sprain, the definition of a sprain is. We call it a sprain. It's a tear.
Yep.
It's just not torn completely. That's all that means.
Yeah, not detached.
Yeah, and it could be at any moment. You know, if he makes a wrong hit, wrong turn, whatever it might be. So I'm going with the trade here. You got two injured players. I don't think Benjamin's going to do much for the rest of the year. And I'll take the upside of Robinson over Michael.
You might see a similar dynamic to what happened last year with the Jags. Now, Bortles has not played well. Not from a fantasy standpoint. Have you gotten what you wanted to get out of him? And certainly from an NFL standpoint, it's been miserable. I know he ends up with that huge game against the Titans a couple of weeks ago, but it was all garbage. And it was just, frankly, blind luck that he came up with that 30-point performance because the Titans just wanted to go home.
You know, fantasy-wise, he's been okay.
He's been okay.
It's NFL-wise, he's a disaster.
Yeah, he really
it's
has.
Really, it's last year all over again.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to play out that same way. And honestly, if you look at Allen Robinson's last 8 games last year, you're going to be in good shape. So we would make that trade. It doesn't seem pretty right now, but I'd rather have Tevin Coleman and Allen Robinson going forward than the other two. So good job there. Good question there. So we'll continue through the games. We talked Steelers Ravens. We've talked about that a bunch. Antonio Brown back in the mix with Ben. The floor for Antonio Brown when Ben plays is so high that you got to feel good about
it. What are we talking about Brown for? He's starting.
Yeah, he's never a guy that's going to be on the bench. I'm just saying your expectations for him probably rise a little bit without Landry Jones.
Of course. He's never caught a touchdown from anybody else other than Ben.
Exactly right.
That streak continues.
Titans Chargers, we got a 47 total on that game, fairly high. You know, we talked a little bit about these players throughout the day, but DeMarco Murray's a guy that you want in there. Melvin Gordon's a guy you're going to have in there. You feel good about both quarterbacks in this matchup? Or
sure.
You have tempered expectations on Phil Rivers with the Titans trying to control the ball on the ground?
This game smells 27-24 to me. Over 50 points. I'm taking I'll start both quarterbacks here. I think my only issue here, obviously we just talked about Benjamin. Don't want him. Tyrell Williams, I'll start. Gates, I'll start now that he's don't have to worry about Henry. Inman is not a start for me if we assume, and I assume Benjamin had a full practice yesterday. So I assume he's playing. So that means that knocks Inman out. Tennessee's really the more fun team as far as fantasy is concerned. A more worried team. You know, Walker, we discussed earlier. He may not play. Game time decision. 4 o'clock, 4:30 game, 4:25. So that's an issue. You won't find out until 3 o'clock. But have another tight end on your roster just in case or go in that different direction from 1 o'clock on. Problem. Wide receiver. Do you like Kendall Wright? Do you like Rishard Matthews? And how deep down do you have to go to start these guys?
Rishard Matthews is a guy I looked at in a couple of leagues.
I've got him
in
a couple of
leagues. As a spot fill-in this week. I think he's a guy that you can look towards. In fact, I think Rishard Matthews is one of the guys I looked at in our league.
I thought he was available. And I
think
thought,
I already have him.
Did you?
I have him in several leagues. That might be one of them.
Got it. So he was one of the guys I was going to look
at. I prefer Wright, but I don't have much of a problem with Matthews if you're in one of those leagues where, hey, you're a little short on wide receivers. I don't mind Matthews. I think he's a good little safe play. Once again, you know, 4 or 5 catches, 50, 60 yards, you know, double-digit points.
I'm playing Derrick Henry, I think, in both leagues where I own him. And I know there's some risk there because you don't know what kind of workload he's going to get. But based on how he played against the Jags a couple of weeks ago, I think there could
gonna,
be in a position
a mistake.
What?
And people who are, I think, going to go over that Jags game are going to make a mistake. Because he only played for two reasons. One, Murray got hurt, had
no doubt.
Toe injury. Murray's fine. Been practicing all week, so he's fine.
Yep.
The other problem is the game was a blowout.
True.
So because of the injury, they took Murray out
and
let Henry go nuts.
Yeah.
So, and when I say mistake, I don't mean you're making a mistake. I don't want to see fantasy owners all of a sudden assume that, oh, it's a split now. You know, Henry's a 50. It's not. You know, game how the game went that dictated that Murray, Henry got more touches, more runs. You don't know if that's going to happen tomorrow or any other week for that matter.
Yeah.
Murray's still the guy you want there. I don't mind starting Henry because I think he does get 8-10 touches.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for.
Right, and a bye week.
16 in that Thursday night game when Murray got hurt, so I expect
I would say about
half
that.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be, but I don't want people starting him over a legitimate starter who's going to get double the touches.
So here's the one league where I have it. People probably have similar situations to this. I got the Mark Ingram, Tim Hightower thing on this team. So I'm going to go with Ingram. I'm not going to play both Saints running backs. My other choices are Jerick McKinnon and Derrick Henry. McKinnon a little banged up.
McKinnon looks like he's going to start.
Yeah.
So it's always tough for me to sit a starter, but he's not the goal line guy.
Well, they're averaging 2.8 yards per carry.
And that offensive line is putrid.
Terrible.
Putrid. That offensive line is bad. I think they lost somebody else, too.
I just need Derrick Henry to score a touchdown. That's the bottom line. 8 carries for 50 yards.
In your case, I don't mind it. It's pretty much a, you know, flip that coin.
It's easily the worst team I have, by the way, as you could tell from that situation. I did have Matty Ice get off to a good start. I had Austin Hooper in a spot start there because
McKinnon is listed as questionable
for those
wondering. Limited practice. But he expects to play.
Yeah, so I can make the pivot to Jerick McKinnon if I like, but
right I don't now, like McKinnon.
I'll go with Derrick Henry.
Henry is the better running back.
Yeah. So Steelers Ravens. Same
starting
coach.
Ben. First question: you're starting Ben.
Yes.
Me too. I'm starting Ben. We already Brown and Bell go. We don't have to worry about them.
Depends on your options, you know. Like if you wanted to pick up, would you pick Dak Prescott over Ben?
I don't know if I can do that. I just don't know if I can sit Ben.
You just mentioned that he coming back from injury.
All the stats point against Ben. And because, like I said, Ben's first game back from injury, generally not good. He's coming back early. There's no doubt he's coming back early.
Yeah.
He probably needs at least another week off. It's if it wasn't playing Baltimore, he's probably not playing.
Yeah.
You know, I think he would have taken the
they need a
week
divisional
here.
Win here.
The numbers in Baltimore aren't good. Even Ben's healthy, they aren't good. They aren't good for anybody, by the way. Not for Brown or Bell either, but there's no chance you're sitting Brown and Bell. So,
Sammy Coates.
Roster construction. I think it'll depend on he's not an automatic start. That's where I'm going with that.
Same with you like Wallace this week. Steve Smith, same again. Roster construction.
Steve Smith is definitely roster construction. That guy has barely practiced. First game back. Always worries me. He's not a great receiver anyway, was he? Wide receiver 3-4 when healthy.
Yeah. Our DFS guys really like Terrence West this week. They feel like he's going to get enough carries to justify him being able to get in the lineup.
I don't mind
despite
him,
despite a dud last time out.
I just know from setting up my DFS lineups, I can do better.
Yeah,
I can do. I mean, since our FanDuel lineups, I can do much better.
Yeah,
you know, I'll be okay there. The only thing I think of my FanDuel lineup, I had Delonte Walker in there. I'll take him out now.
Yeah,
probably go with Kyle Rudolph for 5,000.
There you go.
So that's where I'm going to end up going there. Coates, I like Coates. His value definitely goes up now that Ben is back. Not necessarily going to start him, depending on what else I have there. Tight end is a little bit more interesting now. You know, we're still going with Jesse James, who's really touchdown dependent. And what about Mr. Green? He'll be back, which he's not. So Green has not been actually good. But James, like I say, he's touchdown dependent. Ben first game back, but there's so many tight ends out this week. You may not have a choice.
Yep.
He's sort of in that Jack Doyle tier for me, that Jack Doyle category.
Sure.
So I'm probably starting him. And you look at Baltimore, West is a start. Wallace, I mentioned, I like. Pitter is a guy I'm getting a lot of questions on, mainly because is he a guy you can replace one of these tight ends with? And the answer for me is yes.
Yeah, I think so. Steelers banged up defensively, and as we've highlighted, they probably got a little healthier over the course of the last week. But
these two teams generally don't play high-scoring games, though.
No.
It's 21-17, something around there.
Yeah, I think you can expect more of the same. We'll get to a few more games after the break. It's Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning, the Saturday edition. Now, Jake Seeley has been top three in the Fantasy Pros Accuracy Challenge the last 3 years, and Benny Riccardi has won so many DFS tournaments that it is almost cool to tell a girl at a bar that fact. Almost. And Joe Pisapia, well, he's just a best-selling fantasy author. Put the three of them together and you get what's arguably the most on-point fantasy advice show in the world. It's On Target Fantasy, where accuracy meets precision and they get drunk and have a baby named Championship. It's a family name. On Target Fantasy, every weekday at 12 p.m. Eastern, only on Fantasy Sports Radio Network, on demand at fntsy.com/radio, or available for download on iTunes. Yet another example, George, of make sure you read the read before you do it live, because it's a little confusing, but I think it worked out well. So that's it. On Target Fantasy, catch those guys every week at 12 p.m. Eastern, and then keep listening, and then George is on with Scott and Jake and a little bit of Cha-Cha love. So a few more games to go through here. Lions at Vikings. We don't love Stafford in this matchup. We're certainly not playing Sam Bradford. The running backs, we're pulling back on just about everybody there not named Theo Riddick, correct?
Yeah.
McKinnon, Asiata,
that's a mess.
You know, that's...
It's just a mess.
Yeah, so wide receivers there, Diggs, Marvin Jones, Golden Tate.
Worried about Jones and Tate. Obviously, it's a rough matchup. Everybody on Detroit, actually. I think Riddick is probably my favorite play on the Lions. I think they'll be dumped off past them, PPR league. He'll get his. He'll get fed that way. I mean, Tate, Jones, I don't know if you could sit them. Once again, it's roster construction. You might have better. I get a lot of questions about them. Some of the questions, yes, I can sit Jones and or Tate. I guess if I had to choose between one of them, I'll start Jones. But I'm not happy about any of it. Ebron probably has to go for me because, once again, we're weak at tight end this week.
Yeah.
As for Minnesota, Ajayi and McKinnon, if I can avoid it, I'll avoid it. Although we did just go out to Gary Davenport. That Detroit Lions defense is beat up. Not a lot of healthy players there. But what are we hoping for from McKinnon? I mean, really. He's not a goal line guy. You know, that's going to be Asiata. So you're really hoping for big yards there. The upside's limited. Not very happy here. Diggs is the Diggs and Rudolph all start. That's about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's been it's rough here offensively for the Vikes this year. So a little bit on this. So it's not something we talked about today, but Norv Turner walks away in the middle of the season. It seems like, frankly, the personnel is not fitting the Norv Turner offense. I think it seems like, to me, reading the tea leaves, Zimmer said he was surprised. I don't think he was surprised at all. I think these are conversations that have been happening over the course of the last year. And now it's at a point where the personnel probably fits Pat Shurmur and what he's wanting to do with Sam Bradford more than it fit what Norv Turner was wanting to do.
Strange situation. Because you heard Norv saying they just had two different philosophies on where the offense is going. I mean, let's face it, there's not much talent there. I mean, really, there's not. Bradford is who he is. He's not a top quarterback, not really anywhere near close to a top quarterback.
But he spent a first-round pick on the wide receiver. He's barely on the field. He got Diggs there as an explosive talent. They're not really utilizing these guys.
But Diggs isn't a wide receiver one. Not in fantasy, not in reality. You know, he's had a couple of good games, but consistency isn't going to be there. I mean, is it hard to judge him maybe because of Bradford?
Yeah.
Maybe because the offensive line's pretty much a bunch of turnstiles? Of course, this all hurts.
I'm saying, in an extreme example, I wouldn't totally agree with you on Diggs. Like, in an ideal scenario, could Stephon Diggs with a really good
quarterback? Come on.
Listen, he's not an ace like Julio or Antonio Brown or those guys.
But have 8 to 10 of those guys. He's nowhere near those guys. He's not in the next tier either.
I just think the talent is there.
He has talent.
Yeah.
But he's not a wide receiver one. Maybe if you want to tell me he's not a wide receiver two, he's somewhere in between, but I wouldn't give him 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
You know, he's not that kind of player. You know, show me some consistency first. It's just not there.
Yeah. But
and this is not a rookie.
I think it's because of this passing. I think it's because
of what's going on with Treadwell?
Right.
It's a little ridiculous, isn't it?
I heard somebody breaking it down. It was an NFL analyst. Can't remember the channel or who exactly it was, but they were talking about, maybe it was Trent Dilfer, talking about how the Norv Turner offense, going back to the Dallas days, was a lot of deep comeback routes for these wide receivers. And it's not what Sam Bradford does. And it wasn't going to work with this quarterback and these wide receivers. That style of offense, passing offense, wasn't going to work because it's not the throws that he can make the best. So if he's going to stick to the philosophy, and the philosophy is not going to work, and this team has sights set on the Super Bowl,
probably make the change now better than anything. Now, it's interesting that he resigned.
But you can't change anything now. That's the thing. You can't change anything at this point. You're not putting in a new playbook in 3 days. That's not happening.
No.
Listen, you lost your quarterback. And Bradford may be better than Bridgewater, or it's the same. I think it's a minimal loss. You lost the running back, which was a huge loss. But then again, Peterson wasn't really doing all that much when he was healthy. Small sample size as can be. The pieces weren't there. His team was always going to be built on defense, you know, winning that way. So I don't think it's the offensive coordinator's fault at all. You know, I don't think there's anything they could have done here. You lose your quarterback, you lose your running back, you lose all the plays they've lost on that offensive line. No one's doing anything. Brett Favre's not doing anything with this team.
I totally understand. I mean, it's just it's been a rough go for the Vikings offense. I'm trying to find some stats here to bolster my argument. But in any event.
Lies, damn lies, and statistics.
That's right. So, all right. So that's a little bit on the North Turner situation. I don't know how much different this offense will be, to George's point. I think, frankly.
And Turner and Zimmer have been together forever.
I know.
You know, they, it's not like this was a shock to Zimmer. Oh, this, well, this is the type of offense that North Turner runs. They back in Dallas's days, they were together. So I don't know if I don't think this caught Zimmer by surprise as far as the type of offense. Norv leaving, I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
But you just don't see this.
No.
Where the coordinator leaves on his own volition.
Yeah, we have four offensive coordinators that have been changed so far this year, and this is by far the most shocking. The other were, all of them had problems
with
effectiveness. But in this instance, I think Norv just realized, like, I'm not going to get on the same page with Mike Zimmer and this team. So maybe it's best for me to move on. I'm sure they let him resign as opposed to asking him to leave. But in any event, it's shocking to see a guy like that, because I don't think anybody doubts Norv Turner's impact and offenses through over the last 20 years and how good he's been. So moving on, Jets at Dolphins. A couple of streamers, delights quarterbacks here with Tanny and Fitzpatrick.
I don't know about delights.
Yeah, true. You like Tannehill better than Fitzpatrick here?
Ugh.
I know.
Can I just end it at that?
Yeah.
Look at this. Fitzpatrick or Tannehill? Oh, God. Okay, fine. You want to go Tannehill over Fitzpatrick? Fine. Fitzpatrick's been awful. You know, all those interceptions. He was terrible last week in Cleveland, by the way. 16-34, and he was terrible. I don't know how they won that game without him. With him. You look at the game, though. This is interesting because both teams can be beat in the secondary. You know, the front sevens are decent. The secondary is the weakness part. The Jets may have fixed it a little bit, but you know, not all that much. So Terrell Pryor was eating Darrelle Revis for lunch last week. Better quarterback, we would have had a better day. So Landry's obviously a play, right? No doubt Jarvis Landry's a play for you. Devontae Parker, you know, once again, Scott and I were talking about this yesterday. Whenever a team comes out and goes, oh, you know, Parker's been dealing with hamstring injuries all year long, this is why that's just, you know, that's covering for his bad play. I always think that. You're just covering. You're trying to give him an excuse for him. And I don't like that. You know, if the player is playing badly, I'd call him out more than give him an excuse. But Parker's still not a play for me tomorrow. Even if he is healthy now, I'm going to pass. Ajayi is, no matter what. I get a lot of questions. Be surprised. I got a lot of questions about Ajayi this week. People not want to automatically start him. Is he going to rush for 200 yards? No, probably not. But he's a start.
I'm playing him.
I mean, I got him in a couple leagues. I'm definitely playing him. Am I expecting huge things? No. Jets have a good run defense, but I'm still starting him. And that's really pretty much all I want on Miami. The Jets, I mentioned I'm starting Marshall. And Nunu, I think, is a consideration in deeper leagues. You need someone to fill in there. I'll say it again. Miami can be beat in the secondary. It's where their cornerbacks are weak. Yeah, Fitzpatrick has been getting the ball to Nunu, and Nunu has been doing big things when he gets the ball in his hands. So making some plays. So somebody you can consider there. Forte is a start as well, though once again, I think his value will be limited. But I do think the Jets are going to feature him once again, as they have been the past couple of weeks. Jets have been successful when they have featured Forte.
I'll give you one of my lineup decisions that I made, George, because it touches on these couple of games that we're talking about now, and the next one we'll touch on. I have DeMarco Murray and Drew Brees in my lineup. Amari Cooper slotted in there. I have my other wide receiver spot, I have Dante Moncrief, because I expect the ball to be up in the air there. And Jay Ajayi in my flex. On the bench, I have Allen Robinson.
So what, Robinson or Cooper?
It's whoever.
I'm not taking Moncrief out.
And you're not taking Ajayi out.
So it'll be
Cooper. Yeah, if you think I would bench Cooper over Allen Robinson.
Cooper has the back injury, although the reporters say he's fine. It's really the matchup you're worried about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Gary says might be a little okay there. No Tlaib. You know, it's a huge game. Yeah, they got one of my favorite commercials going now is the Aaron Rodgers Clay Matthews commercial with the fly. you know, protect the house. And that's what I keep thinking about Oakland. They got to protect that. You got to start winning at home. But I do love that commercial, by the way.
Yeah.
Although no insurance companies.
Do you like the Raiders over the Broncos tomorrow?
No. No. Until the Raiders prove to me they can win a big game at home, I can't.
That's the most compelling game in the NFL this weekend, right? We would say. That Giants-Eagles game has a lot going on, but you're also a Dallas fan, so it means more to you than others.
True.
But 2-6-2 teams, right? Broncos and Chargers, Broncos and Raiders, sorry.
I think Colts-Packers are somewhat fun, but that's a fun fantasy game.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the best game of the week, the Sunday night game. I mean, I have my doubts about Semien. I have a lot of doubts about Semien. He hasn't really been able to take advantage. The Raiders can be beaten through the pass. I like Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas this game. You know, Devontae Booker. I just got to – is this the game the Raiders announced themselves? Hey, we are serious contenders here. At home, Sunday night, against the World Series, against the Super Bowl champions. This has to be the game you announce yourselves. Has to be.
Yeah. Del Rio worked there in Denver, so, you know, a little bit of – not a revenge game for him, but maybe a little bit to prove to his former employer. Going back to the Dolphins for one thing, it's an interesting stat, just looking through a few things. You know, the thing we used to complain about in the past with Ryan Tannehill was – he only looks 5 yards down the field. And Jarvis Landry is good for you in those scenarios because he's going to rack up
PPR
catches in PPR. But, you know, the Dolphins rank 7th in yards per pass attempt. So they have been pushing it a little bit down the field with Parker when he has been healthy. They've tried to do
Stills
that.
Stills has been there as well.
Right. So to that point, the Dolphins inside of the top 10 in net yards per pass attempt is a huge change from where they were in the past. So, similarly to Derek Carr a couple of years ago, the Raiders are really tied for the top 10 there in yards per pass attempt. So, two quarterbacks that maybe played a little bit more ball control and safe, airing it out a little bit more than they used to. So, just a little tidbit there on Jets-Dolphins. Broncos-Raiders. We like Amari Cooper there, but he's got a little bit of a back injury.
I don't like Amari Cooper. I'm starting him, though.
Yeah, it's a like-not-love scenario. He's a tough guy to bench.
I don't know if I like anybody on Oakland, but I'm starting him. You know, the Carr's going to be a tough start. Cooper's a tough start. Crabtree's a tough start. Murray's always a tough start.
Broncos wide receivers?
I like them. Sanders and Thomas, I'm going to put them in there. I mean, it's a good matchup. Can the quarterback get on the ball? You know, Simeon's going to be the one guy.
Simeon, a streamer's delight for you, or are you just... hold your nose.
He should be. That's the thing is he should be a streamer's delight in this game.
Yeah.
You know, because he should be able to put that ball in the air against the Raiders secondary who can't really stop anybody. But I don't know that I could say he is. You know, I think I'd prefer there are a couple other guys I'd prefer over him. That's my problem.
Okay, folks. It's really going to be it for us this week. You can feel free to hit George up at Roto Experts. He's answering all the email queue constantly. Hit him up at George Kurtz on Twitter. Hit me up at Mike Blewett on Twitter. And follow us all day here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. The results of our poll on the day, it was which questionable player is causing you the most angst. And the winner is LeSean McCoy by a pretty wide margin. So sorry about you, LeSean McCoy owners. You're not going to get an answer before Monday night. So you got to take a risk. Great to talk to you again this week. Feel free to listen to us here every Saturday on Roto Experts in the Morning. It's College Game Day with Joe Lisi and Rich Germanello up next.